Hi, and thank you all for being here. I'm Jacqueline Lickness, and I'm here representing the Clean Greens team from Emory University. And in partnership with UNL in Mexico and North Carolina State University, I'll be presenting on microbial contamination on produce and farmworkers' hands on farms in the U.S.-Mexico border. And I have no relationships to disclose. So based on this presentation, I'm hoping to achieve two objectives with you all. The first is being able to identify potential sources or vehicles of transfer of microbial contamination in the agricultural production environment, and from those results, be able to describe appropriate interventions to reduce the risk of produce contamination in the agricultural production process in order to reduce the risk of foodborne illness in the U.S. So in order to achieve these objectives, I'll first go through the study itself, talk about the methods of the study, and then I'll go into the results of my particular analysis, which is just a small component of the study. I'll talk about recommendations that have been derived from those results, and finally we'll leave room for questions at the end. So a little bit of background, 42 million cases and 3,000 deaths due to foodborne illnesses occur annually. Produce is an important vehicle in the transmission of foodborne pathogens. As seen from this figure here on outbreaks and illnesses due to food commodities from 2001 to 2010, produce is the second leading single ingredient food causing outbreak, second only to multi-ingredient non-meat. So produce outbreaks present a significant public health burden, and in general, produce contamination is a significant public health threat. So in order to address this, we need to understand how and at what point in the production produce becomes contaminated. And so in order to address this need, and based on data collected from the first two Clean Green studies, Clean Greens 3 was created, which is a four-year USDA-funded study that began in 2010 and is currently ongoing. And the research objective of Clean Greens 3 is to identify contamination routes at the farm level in northern Mexico. And the reason Mexico was chosen was for a variety of reasons. For one, Mexico is our largest trading partner when it comes to produce. Secondly, several large foodborne related outbreaks have implicated Mexican farms. As a result, nine farms were selected on the U.S.-Mexico border region. These farms were chosen as a result of the produce that they had. So based on Clean Greens 1 and 2, we found that some produce was more likely to be contaminated than other types of produce. And this was melon, jalapeno, and tomato. And the nine farms that were selected to be enrolled in the Clean Greens 3 study had one or more of these types of produce. So for this study, what was collected were environmental samples. And the environmental samples included irrigation water, source water, soil, produce rinses, and hand rinses. And from these samples, fecal indicators and pathogens were collected and processed in the lab. So pathogens are what most people are familiar with in the public health environment, and this is what causes illness in humans. However, pathogens are rare and difficult to detect in the environment. So in order to better understand fecal contamination, we also collected fecal indicators. Fecal indicators are more numerous and easier to detect in the environment, and they are biologically and ecologically similar to pathogens. So from these samples that were collected, there was also another component of the study, which Dr. Jennifer Shields will talk about next, and this is microbial source tracking. And this is the ability to identify the origin of the fecal matter. And then finally, a last component of this study was farm surveys. And this was a qualitative component that aimed to assess agricultural practices, hygiene and sanitation, and worker policies by administering the survey both to farm managers and farm workers. So in order to understand how the data was collected, compiled, and analyzed, I'm going to go into a little bit of the methods of the study itself. Here you see the sampling scheme. So we envision the production process of produce as a chain. And in this chain, there are four points. There's the field, which is the point at which produce has not come into contact with farmers. At harvest, when the farm workers collect the produce, on the truck, and at the packing shed. And each one of these points has a distinct nature and context in which produce comes into contact with the environment. So, for instance, at the field, produce comes into contact with both irrigation water, which comes from source water, as well as soil. And at this point, environmental samples are taken from those environmental sources. And as you see here, there are variations in numbers for the produce. This is reflective of the rinses that were done. So both produce and hand rinses were conducted at different points in the chain. And based on these rinses, microbial indicators were enumerated. And in order to understand the variation in the surface area of each of the produce, there's variability in the number of samples of each type of produce that were collected. And this is basically to standardize the surface area across the produce. Here is just a brief slide about the number of samples that we were able to collect. And because we used the novel approach of rinses in order to get at the surface level contamination, we were able to collect effectively and efficiently 636 samples over a 2-year period. The numbers for the produce indicate the units of those different types of produce according to the surface area as described earlier. So my particular research goal as a component of Clean Green Surrey was to quantify and assess whether microbial levels on produce are associated with one or more of the 3 types of environmental samples: hands, soil, or water. So in order to understand and characterize the distribution of microbial indicator concentrations on sample levels, here we have the microbiological counts of 2 of the 4 microbial indicators, E. coli and Enterococcus. The different types of samples are indicated with the different colors, so red being hand rinse, dark blue being irrigation water, light blue source water, and black being soil. On the y-axis, we see the proportion of samples, and on the x-axis, we have the log average values. So here's just the distribution of the concentration of these indicators, and what we can gain from these graphs is that hand rinses are have higher concentrations of microbial indicators compared to irrigation and source water, which have little to no contamination of these microbial indicators. So what we can conclude from this is that there is a bit of variability, but we do see higher levels of microbial indicators for hand rinses. So in order to understand the association of the concentration levels of microbial indicators on produce compared to environmental samples, we conducted Spearman's correlation. And Spearman's correlation looks at the concentration levels of the environmental samples, which are listed on the left-hand side, hands, water, and soil, compared to the concentration levels on produce. Each one of the 3 environmental samples is stratified by indicator. Next to that, you see the sample size. And then rho is actually the measurement for Spearman's correlation. And rho ranges from -1 to 1, with anything that's over 0.5 indicating a strong positive relationship between the exposure and the outcome. And the p-value indicates the significance of this measure. And so based on the results here, we see that for hands, all 4 of the microbial indicators have a strong association with the contamination of produce. And we see, too, that water and soil don't have a strong relationship in terms of the level of contamination on those 2 environmental samples and the level of contamination on produce itself. So in order to understand the relationship between the prevalence of microbial indicators on produce and the prevalence of microbial indicators in environmental samples, we ran logistic models and measured the odds ratio. And so here the table is set up in a similar way, where we have the left-hand side being the 3 different environmental exposures, hands, water, and soil, the outcome being the presence or absence of contamination on produce. Again, stratified by all 4 microbial indicators. Next to that being the sample size. We have the odds ratio, which is the association between the exposure and the outcome, looking at the presence-absence of contamination, the confidence interval, and the p-value, which indicate the significance of this relationship. So for instance, if we were to read hands for E. coli, 9.1 would indicate that if hands were contaminated, produce is 9.1 times more likely to be contaminated as well. So based on these results, we can see that hands, three out of the four indicators for hands, are associated with the contamination of produce. We also see that soil may have a relationship between the contamination of soil and the contamination of produce. I would like to note, though, that the NAs are listed there because 100% of all of the samples were contaminated, so we were not able to run logistic models or gather an OR. So based on these results, we can conclude that concentrations and prevalence of indicators on produce were significantly associated with hands and perhaps soil as we continue to do more statistical tests, but not drip irrigation from groundwater. So it's important to recognize these results and then move forward for the public health implications and how we can promote interventions to mitigate the risk of disease in the population. So based on the evidence I was able to provide today, the first, we found that contamination was not associated with groundwater delivered by drip irrigation. Because of this finding, we want to continue to recommend the use of high-quality source and delivery method. All of the farms that we looked at were using drip irrigation, using well water, and we want to continue promoting the use of this on the farms that we've worked with. In addition, we found that contamination was associated between produce and workers' hands. And because of this, we would like to focus on the unique hand hygiene needs of agricultural workers. And this this is actually an ongoing project within Clean Greens. As we speak, they're taking different samples from farms where there is an intervention method unique to the hygiene needs of farm workers. Farm workers actually have a very particular need in terms of hygiene just because of the surfactants that their hands come into contact with, and just the time on the field. So right now, those methods have been developed and are being employed on the farms to see if there is a reduction in contamination level on produce. So that is my presentation for today. Thank you so much for being here, and I would like to acknowledge people who have contributed to the study. It's been a 13-year ongoing study, so there are many people, but particularly the farm shed owners, managers, and workers, allowing us to come onto their farm and field and conduct this study have been a huge help to us, as well as everyone on my Emory team who I've worked with. So that's it, and we'll leave time for questions now. That's a really good question. So I think a lot of what we've gathered from the farm worker surveys is that there aren't too many facilities available to farm workers. So we think likely that it's happening on the farm just because a lack of resources for the farm workers to use when they do need to defecate. That's definitely something that we're trying to work out with the farm managers to make sure that there are greater resources available to farm workers.
And do you think it's higher for farm workers than it is for non-farm workers? The amount of contaminants on their hands?
Non-farm workers, as in like the managers?
For the end consumer, for example.
Oh, okay. That's a good question. I actually am not sure how that would compare across other people that come into contact with produce. But in general, from the literature, we know that the more people that touch produce, like, the more likely we will see contamination, and so likely it's that most people who just don't wash their hands are contaminating produce in general.
Yeah. Do you have any qualitative pictures of where they go to the bathroom, how that happens?
Yeah, we actually do have quite a few pictures, and I know last year my colleague presented on the intervention, or not the intervention, but the qualitative side of things. I'm less familiar with that portion of the Clean Green study, but there were certain images that were gathered, as well as data about how far bathrooms were. So for example, on average, a bathroom was 2 miles away from most workers. Certain qualitative studies just showed maybe like a lack of communication between farm managers and farm workers. And that was a different component that I'm not too familiar with, but if you're interested in talking more about it, I can give you information on some of my colleagues that do that.
Okay, and I think in the thank yous, you left out the farm workers, or did I miss
them? Oh, no, I thought I said the farm workers, owners, and managers. I'm not sure about that one, actually. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, and I should say that everyone that has been enrolled in the study, farm workers and managers, have been very great about providing us with this information, and it is an ongoing kind of collaboration between the two. So I think it's moving in a very positive direction. Thank you.